am indebted to a fellow minister of the word named Dan Meyer for the title of the lesson you see on the screen behind me, The Family Silver, along with the story that I want to share with you here at the beginning of our time together. This is something that Dan shared in a sermon he preached on a Memorial Day weekend in recent history. And it comes from his own life. Here is what he shared that morning in his lesson. He says, "When I was 26, a package arrived at my home accompanied by a note from my grandmother that simply read, 'Take good care of this. It's very valuable.' Inside the box was an object that at first did not seem like very much. It was a rather small, somewhat tarnished, silver pitcher. Dented in several spots, it bore the marks of some tough tumbles. But on the pitcher's side was an inscription, indicating that it had been the prize for a sailing race in which my great-great-grandfather had been a victor in 1901. On the bottom of the pitcher was an insignia I now know was the mark of a renowned silversmith. 'Take good care of this,' my grandmother had written. 'It's very valuable.'" Now, Meyer went on in his message to acknowledge that initially he did not fully recognize or appreciate the monetary or the sentimental value of that silver pitcher. It was not until he did some research on the name of the man who crafted that pitcher that he began to realize and appreciate its monetary value. And it wasn't until he did a little bit of family research and learned the history behind the silver pitcher that he began to appreciate the sentimental value of that family heirloom as it had been passed down from generation to generation. In his sermon that day, he confessed something that possibly I and several others of you have also been guilty in our lives of doing, and that is the tendency to disregard or discount that which is not current or fresh or new. He made the point, which I have made at numerous times from this pulpit, that we have become a society where the word old is a dirty word, where the word old is a synonym for irrelevant. We've constantly been told that we need to upgrade or replace the old things that we have in our lives with newer, faster, better, more relevant, more up-to-date stuff. And I guess there are instances where that's true. If you're a business today operating with Windows XP, you need to upgrade your software. Now, some of you don't have a clue. It's funny. I'm looking at your faces, and I've seen a couple of blanks there like, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. That's our technology society. I guess there's a divide there. But Windows XP is an operating system on computers, and it's old, and it doesn't work well anymore, and it's subject to viruses and security breaks. And so if you're a business and your computers are running on XP, you probably do need to upgrade to a newer software or a newer computer. Unless you're a member of the Amish community, and I don't think any of you here this morning are, you did not walk to church this morning or arrive in a horse and buggy. You arrove in a vehicle of some sorts, a car maybe, or a truck, or perhaps even a motorcycle. And those are good things, in spite, I think, of what the Amish community would argue. I think it's a good thing that we have motorized transportation today. Dana and I are going to visit Kent and Rosie Sutherland this week. They celebrated their 50th anniversary earlier this month. They've invited us to come celebrate that with them. They now live in Dallas, Texas. I'm very thankful that I don't have to ride a horse and buggy down to Dallas, Texas this week. If so, I'd probably need 2 months to get down there and back instead of 2 days to get down there and back. So in some instances, it is true, it's right, it's good that we have things that are newer, better, up to date, more current, more relevant. I understand that that is obviously the case in some instances. But in our rush to stay up to date and make sure that we have the newest and the best things, that does not mean that we should devalue that which is no longer new. Just because something is no longer new doesn't mean it's not valuable, doesn't mean it's not important, doesn't mean that it no longer has a function or a purpose to serve in our lives. This is true when it comes to family heirlooms like the silver pitcher that I talked about a moment ago, and it is certainly true when it comes to people. Just because someone is no longer young doesn't mean they've become unimportant or irrelevant. I don't know, though, as a society, whether we really appreciate that truth or not. We have a term in our society that we use when we refer to people who are older. We say to them that they are in their golden years. I'm afraid, though, that many people who are in their golden years have found that being in their golden years is maybe anything but golden. Because many of those who fall into that category, and I don't know where exactly that category begins technically or not, but those who are in that age, that phrase, that time of life that can be referred to as golden years, I fear are often made to feel irrelevant. That you've been put on a shelf. That you're no longer valuable, that you're no longer important, that you're no longer relevant. That's the way our society, I think, treats its elderly, but that is not the way God wanted it to be in His economy, in His community. God has always wanted His people to honor and respect and appreciate the members of His community who are older, who are elderly and aged. Leviticus 19:32 is just one verse that establishes this. God spoke to Moses, gave him these words. Moses, in turn, was to give them to the sons and daughters of Israel. And that verse reads, unless you have it open and can read it for yourself, it says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly, and thus revere your God. I am the Lord." As the sons and daughters prepared to go into the land of promise, God gave them a number of principles and rules and ways to live and carry out the way He wanted them to live and to treat each other. And one of the things He wanted them to do was to rise in the presence of the aged, to appreciate their elders, to honor them, to bless them, and to continue to consider them as important, valuable members of their community. Many years later, when Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, he gave these simple instructions to the young evangelist. He said, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father, and treat older women as your mother." God has always wanted his people to appreciate and honor and respect those who've walked the path a little bit longer than others. In God's economy, those who are elderly, those who are aged, those who are older in the faith are to be treated as spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. Now, if for no other reason than simply the fact that God wants us to treat each other that way, we ought to be willing and obedient to those commands. But it occurs to me that even just beyond simply being obedient, there's a very practical reason for honoring and appreciating and having a culture that honors and appreciates those who are older. And that is that even if we're the youngest person in this room this morning, all things considered, someday, if we live to be that old, all of us will fall into the category of being someone who is an older brother or sister in Christ. And if we want to be part of a church community that honors and respects and values and appreciates our spiritual fathers and mothers, it behooves the rest of us to begin doing what we can to create a climate and to build a church community where older brothers and sisters in the faith are appreciated and honored. Because someday, all of us, Lord willing, will fall into that category. We want to have a godly church community. We want to be the people. I believe this is true. This is not just me blowing smoke this morning. I believe as a whole, the University Church of Christ, the members that make up this congregation, we want to be a God-honoring people. Would you agree with that? We want to be the people that God wants us to be. One of the things that God wants us to be is a people who honor and respect and appreciate our older brothers and sisters in Christ. In order to do that, though, we've kind of got to go against culture. Because the culture we live in really honors and appreciates and glorifies youth. We uphold and we honor youthfulness. In fact, there's going to come a point in this morning's lesson where I'm going to do something that I have worried about for the last couple of days about how do I do it. And it's just now dawning on me why I've been struggling with that so much. And it's because even in the church culture, we've allowed the culture in which we live to permeate our view of things. And it makes it hard sometimes for us to do things we ought to find easy to do. That's going to make more sense here in just a moment, but just kind of hang on to that. I'll come back to that in a second. But the question I want to pose to you this morning is, okay, if we want to be a community that honors God in every way and does the things that God wants us to do, then that means we want to be a church community that in very practical, very real ways honors and respects and appreciates its older members. The question is, how do we do that? Number one, how do we become that kind of culture? How do we grow in a climate? How do we create a climate where those who are older among us feel and know that they are appreciated and valued and accepted? How do we do that? What are some of the things we need to do as members of this family to create that kind of climate, to communicate that to those among us who are a little bit older in the faith? Well, I want to make some suggestions this morning. They're just suggestions, and they're not perhaps even the best suggestions that could be made, but they're practical. And I think these are habits, these are commitments that we can make that as we do this over time, and I wouldn't say that we're not in some sense already doing these things, but these are things we can continue to grow in, ways that we can build a church culture where those who are elderly, where those who are perhaps older in the faith can feel honored and appreciated and valued. So two or three suggestions to you this morning. I think you've got some space in your outlines this morning. If you want to write these down just to help yourself stay awake, then you're welcome to do that as we make our way here pretty quickly through these three suggestions. Number one, simply taking the time to say thank you. It's not hard. It's not a difficult word. The words thank and you are actually pretty simple words. And when we put them together, they have the potential to make people feel much better about themselves. Those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago on Mother's Day, you might remember that I talked on that day about how no one likes to feel invisible. No one likes to feel like the things they've done, the work they've done, the sacrifices they've made, no one likes to feel like those things were done in vain. We all want to feel that our work, the sacrifices we've made, the efforts we've put forth have been valued and are important and will have a lasting impact on the people among whom we've lived. Nobody likes to feel invisible. I think this is especially true for those who are older in the faith. In the youth-oriented culture in which we live, I think those who are older wrestle with this. They are often made to feel like they no longer count. They're often made to feel like the work they did, the sacrifices they made, are no longer important. And nobody likes to feel that way. No one likes to feel like the things they've done, the work they've rendered, is forgettable and of no value. As I look around the assembly this morning, I see older brothers and sisters in the faith who have made and continue to make important contributions to this family. I see older men who've served as shepherds. I see older women who've taught Bible classes for years. I see older men and women who've served in many ways on committees, who've brought diapers and blankets and all kinds of items to baby showers and plates and spoons and stuff to wedding showers. I see people who've gone on mission trips, who have served on various committees, and who have worked hard to make this congregation what it is today, to help this congregation be a light to this community and a place where the gospel is proclaimed and lives are changed. And we want those individuals to know, not only do we appreciate the faith that you've modeled and the sacrifices that you've made, but we continue to appreciate the ways that you serve and bless this church, although in the case of some, because of health and advanced age, you can no longer do what you used to do. But that doesn't mean that you're not important. That doesn't mean that you're not still valuable to us and an integral part of who we are. I've wrestled for a couple of days with how to do this appropriately. And as I said, it's just dawned on me this morning why I've wrestled with this so much. It's because none of us in the culture that we live in wants to admit that we're old. My father was one of the oldest members at Hickory Wood. And he talked about the old people who lived out there with him as if he wasn't one of them. Craziest thing. 90-year-old man. One of the oldest men out there. And he'd talk about the old people. I'd go out there and do a devotional. And he'd say, you need to go visit, talk to some of these old people out here. He's the oldest one in the group. None of us wants to. Is this right? We live in a culture where being labeled old is a bad thing. Nobody wants to be an elderly person. But here's the dilemma. How do I honor you as an elderly brother or sister in Christ if you aren't willing to acknowledge that you're elderly? How do I pull it off? How do I do what God wants me to do when nobody is willing to admit I'm an elderly member of this church? Everybody's doing what my father was doing. I'm not an elderly. He's an elderly member of this church, but not me. And why do we do that? Because I'm thinking we live in a culture where admitting that we're old is a bad thing. Nobody wants to be an old person because in our culture, that means you've become irrelevant. You've somehow become unimportant. You've somehow reached a time in your life when you're no longer valuable. Well, in God's economy, that's not true. Maybe it is out there, but in God's community, to be elderly in the faith, to be an older brother or sister, is an honorable thing. To be someone of age in the faith is something that we appreciate. We value that. Those with silver hair or blue hair, whatever the case may be, are not irrelevant or unimportant, but they are the models of faith that we look to for faithfulness and encouragement. When we go through some hard times, we look to those who've been through hard times and are still here. So here's what I want to do in as kind a way as I can. If you're comfortable enough in your own skin to acknowledge, I'm one of the elderly members of the University Church of Christ, if you're able, would you stand up? Stay. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Real quickly, if you're close to one of these people, give them a hug. Say thank you. We appreciate you. You're not elderly yet, are you? That was not appropriate, Josh. Do what? I know it. Guilty as charged. I love it when we can approach an environment that I think was much closer to what our primitive brothers and sisters in Christ experienced than we often do. Remember this. The early Christians didn't meet in a big church building with pews. We have a formality here that did not exist in the early days of Christianity. Winston Churchill, we build our buildings and our buildings shape us. That is never more true than in the assembly of God's people. We have these structures, we have these pews, it gives us a sense of formality that did not exist in the early days of the Christian faith. It was brothers and sisters gathered in homes, and they laughed, and they cried, and they shared, and they interacted, and they loved on each other. And when we do stuff like what we just did, we get close, much closer than what we normally experience in our assemblies today. And I love it when we can capture that spark, that fellowship that existed in the early church. Amen? Amen. Take time to say thank you to somebody. And if somebody says thank you, speaking to myself right here, don't push them off the stage. Say you're welcome. You're welcome. Number two, share with them our most valuable commodity, our time. I'm going to have to kind of go pretty quickly here. I read something just recently. More than one half of those living in nursing homes today receive fewer than an average of one visit per year. And 50% of those people have relatives living within an hour's drive away. I've been told by people who are older than me, who are in that category of their golden years, that one of the toughest things about growing old is that there are fewer and fewer people in your life who understand what it's like to be your age. The older we grow, the fewer there are around us who understand our music, who understand our movies, who understand our views. The older we get, the fewer there are around us who understand what it's like to be us. Those of us who are younger don't help, because we're often too busy to spend any time with those, especially those who may be confined to their homes or maybe even to a bed and just can't get out anymore. Do you know somebody who's confined to their home or maybe even to a bed, an older brother or sister in Christ, who maybe doesn't have as many people around them anymore who understands their language, who knows what it's like to be that age? It's relatively easy to say thank you, and thank yous are needed, but sometimes what really communicates honor and appreciation and respect is giving our most valuable commodity, and that's time. Taking the time to sit down and listen and talk and share. Surely God is not pleased when His people are too busy or too unloving or too uncaring to give up a few moments of their time to spend with somebody whose life is not what it used to be. Maybe you know someone that you could spend some time with this week, and in doing that, bless them and let them know you're still important. Number three, listen to and learn from their stories. I know this is difficult, especially when the stories are the same ones told over and over and over again. I get that. But Scripture makes it clear we're to learn from the wisdom of our elders. Proverbs 19:20, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. In his sermon that I mentioned earlier, Dan Meyer says this: the words our elders pass along are often like the inscriptions on the silver pitcher my grandmother gave me. They are links across time to saints who sailed a good race and whose example can teach us. They display the values and truths that once upon a time truly worked and might still work to bring forth something really significant in this world. To the wise person, these stories will often reveal themselves as the etching of God's wisdom upon the silver of a soul. And though the tarnish may make reading difficult, there's a message there for you and me. We should listen to the stories of our elders. We just might learn something that might make our journey a little bit easier. Taking the time to say thank you, sharing with our older members our most valuable commodity, our time, and listening and learning from their stories, this is how we build a culture. This is how we create an environment where our older brothers and sisters are reminded that you're important. You're a part of us. Maybe you can't do as much as you used to do. Maybe you can't serve in ways that you used to serve, but you are not unimportant to us. We appreciate you. We love you. We need you. And we honor you with our words and our time. Someone once observed that beautiful young people are acts of nature, but beautiful old people are works of art. I like that. Let us be thankful for the many works of art that are still a part of our church family. On your handout this morning, I've given you something, a poem, I guess it is, or an essay maybe, called Moment of Remembrance. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not. It reads, "We did not bring ourselves into existence. We did not die on the cross that won our forgiveness. Many of us did not plant the church in which we sit. We did not provide the hospital in which our children were born. We did not establish the college where we were educated, or found this nation, or die to preserve the freedoms we now enjoy, or lose a loved one in war. But some of our elders did. And for that, we are eternally grateful." I want to give you just a moment of silence where I would ask you to recall perhaps the name of an older brother and sister of Christ, either living or deceased, whose example, whose faith, whose service, whose courage, whose sacrifice has made you a better person. And after that, I'd ask you to stand and we'll close with a prayer. Moment of silence where you can think of someone for whose sacrifice in life you are grateful. Would you stand? Let's pray. Father, for the names that have been lifted up before you from those gathered in this assembly today, we give you thanks. They have not been forgotten. We honor them. We thank them for their good work and for the life of faith they've lived. We ask your blessings upon them this day if they're still with us, and we give you thanks for their life and their service and their sacrifice if they're no longer here. Help us to be your people, Father, in every way. Remind us to rise in the presence of the aged, to show our respect, our appreciation, our love for those men and women who are older than we are, who've walked the walk, and who've set an example for us of faith in Christ. We are grateful for those examples. And in the name of Christ, we all prayed and we all say, Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you this Memorial Day weekend and give you peace.